Hey, I'm late.
You're about 30 seconds late. That's not so bad.
It's an improvement.
In the grand scheme of things, it's not so bad at all. No, you did good. Come on. Chip, I'd called the meeting to order and asked folks to take a look at the minutes.
My comment about the meeting is it has me down as absent. I was present.
Interesting call.
I'll make sure that that's amended.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
If there are no recommendations for changes, I could ask for a motion for the minutes to be approved. Anyone?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. And Hugh is second. All in favor?
Aye.
The minutes from the meeting of April 23rd are approved. Thank you, everybody. We have two C of A votes. As you've seen on the agenda, one is straight up and simple, and one is subject of a lot of communication back and forth, and not quite as simple. So let's do straight up and simple. We have a C of A is prepared by City Attorney Polidoro for a sign at 522 Warren Street. May I have a motion to approve the signed C of A?
I make that motion.
Thank you very much, Paul. And a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Miranda. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Signed C of A for 522 Warren is approved. So good on that. On 9 Willard, I'm going to ask City Attorney Polidoro to advise the commission on state of play in terms of communications on that.
Hi, everyone. So 9 Willard Place had requested a number of items for approval, including windows and railings on the building itself. And then there were changes regarding a walkway and staircase and retaining wall and off-street parking. And so we still are waiting on a letter from the applicant's title company, a title opinion letter that hasn't come in yet. I did get some updated information from the applicant yesterday afternoon, but the long story short is that I'm comfortable if the board moves forward with just the railings and the windows, which are the items on the building itself. But if the applicant has requested, you know, that you move forward with more. So that's all I'm comfortable saying that you can or should move forward with today based on the information we've received.
Crystal, I see that you're here, I think, representing folks next door. If we approve just stuff on the building, physical stuff, no landscaping, no changes in walkways or any of that stuff, are you all right with that?
Well, first I should say, I think that maybe Taconic submitted an updated drawing to you all. Is that correct? But I think that maybe came in. No,
I'm not sure. It's very possible, Crystal. I'm not, a lot of stuff was coming in. I'm not remembering every piece.
Okay. Well, Taconic is here to discuss those changes. I would say, I guess in theory, I'm agreeable to that. I'm not sure really that the walkway is something that's even in your purview. I mean, that's not, you all don't generally weigh in on landscape. I'm curious as to
why that's. When it's permanent construction. Okay. So yeah.
Hey guys, this is Andy Didio with Taconic. I think to Crystal's point, the walkway and the parking area is a separate items. You know, it's not something we're requesting that the HBC consider. We're here for as mentioned, Victoria, the windows, the railings. So there are two other elements that I think the C of A should include, which would be the construction of a stair. So right now on the south side of the building, we'll pull up. Sam, do you have the ability to share? Sam will share the screen. The southern side of the residence has an existing staircase that's only about 25% of the front width. And so we're proposing to construct a stair the full width. So you can see on the existing condition, that's the existing stair. And then on the north end is a porch with a stair going down to the walking path that is proposed to be reconstructed in kind. You'll see that on the architectural elevations, but this is the existing condition. You can go back one, Sam. So there's the existing porch on the south side. You can see it in the photos, and then you can go to the proposed Sam site plan. So the stair would extend along the frontage of the south end, and then that new stair with treads and metal handrail, that's on the north side. So I don't know if Victoria, that if that's what you meant on the railings, but that's what we the two sets of stairs and the windows is what we're proposing for the HBC to review and approve. And so you can go to the elevation, Sam. One thing at the last meeting with regard to the window, so we had talked about doing a Marvin Ultimate wood window, which is what we are proposing. The adjustment we are seeking feedback from on the HPC is whether or not the applicant would like to do a fiberglass exterior clad window. So it's a wood construction. It's still an Marvin Ultimate wood window. It's got wood on the interior, but the exterior is skinned with a fiberglass, and it's a painted fiberglass for essentially for maintenance, to reduce the maintenance of the windows. So we talked about wood exterior last time, I believe, and we wanted to gain feedback from the HPC if they'd be willing to accept the fiberglass clad. It resembles wood quite a bit more than, say, an aluminum clad window. It's not as sharp a line.
Okay. Would any comments on that?
Chairman Foreman, this is Bill Hurst on behalf of Nick Levin, the owner of number 9. I just want to make clear that Mr. Levin's objections extend to the incompatibility of these proposed alterations, including in the application as it's currently being presented. I don't think there's any question that what's being proposed, starting with the steps in the front, is a dramatic alteration of the front facade of the building. It is an alteration that will throw the two buildings that were constructed as companions out of balance with one another, and will dramatically reshape the rhythm and pattern of these two companion lots. As to the windows on the westerly elevation, which is the elevation that faces Willard Place, you are being asked to approve a change from a 3/3, very balanced architectural design, to something that I guess is best described as 3/4, with a couple of seemingly misplaced windows thrown in the middle of the pattern of that western facade. And so our position would be that applying the principles of compatibility, looking at the surrounding structures, most notably number 9 Willard Place, looking at the surrounding neighborhood and the pattern and rhythms of development, that even these alterations are dramatically incompatible with the area and not warranting of a certificate of appropriateness. And obviously we continue to have objections as to the landscaping, but just I want the commission to understand that overall we think that this plan is misguided on numerous levels, including as to the incompatibility of these proposed alterations, especially now that we're hearing that there's going to be some fiberglass, you know, mock-up that looks like wood but is not wood. And so, you know, historic preservation is not about dollhouses, it's about historic preservation. So please note our continued objection to these alterations, even as amended or narrowed by the applicant.
So, Mr. Hurst, just to be clear, though, you don't have any legal issues or title issues with the requested changes to the front and rear porch deck, railing, and windows.
Yeah, these would be substantive objections under the ordinance, under the standards for compatibility. So the short answer to your question, Victoria, is yes. Or no.
we're going to go with no on that?
We have no deed or title-based objections to the alterations. Our objections arise from the historic preservation ordinance.
Cool. So, Bill, I kind of thought it was the commission that decides on compatibility, but your points are always interesting. Any comments from other folks? Victoria, do you want to put up on the screen? Could you share your screen with the draft that you prepared?
One sec. Okay, so this was for the two new 6/6 windows on the west side of the building and new porch stairs and railing, and I can clarify that that's front and rear. Hi, Grandma. Sorry. All right, front and rear porch stairs. So this is what we talked about. I'm not saying that you have to vote on this, but this would cover what was just presented by Taconic Engineering, which is the windows and the front and rear porch stairs and railing.
Could we see them one more? Could we see the before and after just one more time? I'm sorry.
No, I'm with you, John.
Andy should bring that up.
And I understand that we're not considering the front, right? We're just considering the alterations, but.
Is this the before and after?
No, it's not. That's the south and the north. That's what was confusing me. Right. It looked very drastic. If you consider the front and the back, it looks very drastic. The columns are already there. The stairs are widening. The railings are being changed. Andy, is there anything else that we're, like, the...
No.
The porch is already there.
The porch is there.
The porch is already there. Yeah. And it's distinct from its companion in that the porch is there and that's not... stairs are being one. Could we see the after, Andy, the drawing?
So in the bottom right-hand corner is where you see the full length.
Can you call out the major changes? The stairs are widened to the full width of the facade. Yep. The railings are changed. And are those already full? Are those windows being extended to be full size? Or are they already that way?
I think they're already that way. Oh, you've got a picture of the front.
Yes, yep, they are. Okay.
Yep.
The changes to the facade are the windows, the wide and the widening of the staircase to be full width of the facade.
And the handrail.
And the handrail would change to metal decorative.
Uh huh. Right.
If I may comment while we're thinking about that, and thank you, John, for summarizing those changes. Andy, if you could just go back one of your images back to the previous page that shows the sort of design inspiration photograph on the lower left-hand corner, that photograph which is used as the Taconic Engineering's design inspiration. The thing about this building for me is that... It's a new building that pretended to be a building that could have been built someplace in Columbia County in the 1840s or the 1850s. And that pretend is, to my mind, a mark against its importance in the fabric of the city. However, the inspiration photograph on the left-hand side is an attempt to redream this building, not as if it were a building built in Columbia County in the 1840s or 60s, but a building that might have been built in South Carolina or mid-Atlantic or Southern Atlantic coastal area. And so these wrought iron rails and the broad steps running across the front, I think just further Disney-fy this building so that it becomes loaded with images that aren't really accurate. And from a historic preservation point of view, it's just kind of the continual erosion of this Disneyfying. It's actually an excellent example of what not to do, both from its original construction, pretending that it's an older building, and from this modification, which is pretending it's from some other place in the country other than the Hudson Valley. So, those are my comments.
You know what? I think there's enough controversy here, in my opinion, that I would humbly suggest that we consider a public hearing, right? Like, we're now ruling on the compatibility of Chip's point, I think, is very well made. It seems minor in that it's just railings and stairs, except to the owner's objection, it is taking it out of what it was. Chip, you're exactly right. Recreation of something that was up here to something that's not. And compatibility, if nothing else, needs to be considered in light of that other building. So maybe the town, even though this is not like, let's say, the library consideration, maybe there's enough controversy here that we should take in other inputs. Obviously, the owner has an opinion, and maybe others do too. And I'm sure the current owner of this building, the neighbor has an opinion, I'm sure the current owner of this building has an opinion as well.
I have no problem with that, John. What do other folks think?
No, I think that's a very good idea. I think we do this, that's generally how we operate. If we have controversy, it's good to have a public hearing, get the input.
Okay.
So the controversy would be surrounding the establishment of the stair. I mean, it sounds as though really the railing, Chip, to your point, the railing is really the consideration here.
It's on the compatibility of all the proposed changes.
Thank you, Victoria.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on. We'll schedule a public hearing for. Let me see how it works on the calendar. Maybe 2 weeks if we can get it together. And I'm sorry for the delay, folks, but I think there's a little bit of wisdom in that, and maybe, God willing, we can sort out some of the landscaping stuff as well during the next couple of weeks. That would be cool. If everybody's okay,
I'm going to request that Crystal Hines and Bill Hurst meet with each other and see if they can come to a meeting on the mines. And then also that any materials that I need to review just be given to me, you know, maybe a week in advance, so I have time to really dig into them and before the next meeting.
Fair enough, Victoria. Crystal, Bill, is that clear?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's sort of what I understood the chair's instructions to be last time, but it didn't happen. So we're always happy to listen to folks and to try to come up with something that everyone can live with.
Thank you very much. So you guys are going to get together and get back to Victoria in a timely basis. Let's move on to C of A applications.
So we'll see you in 2 weeks for a public hearing?
That's what we're going to try to do. I'll let you know as soon as I look at the calendar and see what else is on the docket 2 weeks from now, but probably yes. Just stay in touch, Bill. I'm not going to disappear.
Thank you.
Craig and I were talking for a minute before we started. There was an application that we missed on 202 Allen. And I think they're here, so you'll be back on as soon as we get through the signs. And what was I going to say? Walter, you're still on, right? Walter Chatham?
Why, yes, of course.
I see you there. My mind is going in addition to everything else.
I'm just lurking when you're ready.
No, you don't lurk, Walter. You're there. Listen, I'm going to put you down at the end because I think 400 is going to be a longer discussion. And I'd like all the eight folks with signs to get done and smaller projects to have the opportunity to move on and have their day And then we need really to focus on 400, if that's all right.
As long as your voice holds out, Phil, I'm here for you.
That was kind of nice. Thank you. And here we go. 369 Warren Street, assign. Who's here from 369?
369, that might be me. What is, hold on. Give me 1 second, because I have a bunch of signs with you guys today.
Oh, okay, cool.
Let me see which one 369 is. That is me. I think it is. Is that one 369? Is that the Greater Hudson Valley one?
Could be. I don't know. I'm just looking at the list right now. I'm not opening the apps while I'm doing this.
Yeah, hold on. I got four with you. I'm just trying to figure out which one's which.
If you got four, just let's go through your four.
Tom, 369 is yours, 514 is yours, and 711 is yours. And
369 is the
the church.
The church. Okay. Yep. All right. So 369 is the church on Warren Street. There's a nonprofit in there.
Two nonprofits.
They want to put a sign in the entryway. There's already two hooks above the doorway. Let me figure out how to do this screen share thing.
Does the church know?
Yes. We have the approval from the owner of the church.
That would be God. You have approval from Catherine Belke or someone?
Catherine Belke, yep.
All right, good.
So Catherine Belke, how do I screen share this?
You click on the green share screen button at the bottom of the screen.
Okay.
You click on it, it'll give you the option to pick.
Yeah. All right, so do you have it?
Whoa. Yep.
So there's what they plan on. There's already two hooks in the upper archway. It's a 40-inch round sign, single-sided, MDO. That was sent to Catherine Belke, and she said it was fine. It's under the 12 square foot allowed. It's like, I think it's 11 or maybe 10 and a half. This is the actual sign. Let me pull that up for you. And that's the actual sign itself, the hang in the doorway.
We're not seeing that.
Nope.
I mean, we're seeing the same picture you showed me first.
Okay. Let me get this one back. There you go. So there's the actual sign up close. It's round.
Around this neighborhood. Got it.
Yep.
Okay.
I guess they're renting a space right inside that door there.
Is that on the side of the building?
It's on the Warren Street side, above that doorway.
Right, the door.
They considered putting it on the church itself. I advised against that because we did not want to drill into the actual facade and brick of the church. I mean, it's a historic building. We didn't want to mess with that too much. And we took a look, and there is two eye hooks already up there that we checked and I think would be secure enough to hold a half inch MDO plywood sign without actually making any more modifications to the building. They're already there. We don't have to put no more holes in it. If they remove, we just unclip it and the two little hooks are still there. We don't have to make any more holes in that building.
Okay.
Unnecessary. Any questions or?
Could you go back to the previous image, please?
Yep.
Well, I will. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I am.
I'll just say it. You know, it's a lovely sign. It's a lovely doorway. They don't seem to work together at all. They're like fighting with each other. It doesn't look great. I don't know what else to say. It's out of scale. I don't know if we're stepping out of our, you know, the purview of our okays and not okays, but to me that just is really out of place.
Gail, as far what with the scale, what
you know, just like the style of the sign, the color of the sign, the size of the sign in that doorway.
Yeah,
really not working for me personally.
What are their alternatives?
Well, I mean, there's for the color, there's not much alternative. That's their logo they have on everything. Scale, we can scale it down a little bit.
I mean, could it fit? This is a larger arch doorway that's partially filled in.
Yeah.
And in, I guess that's a light fixture, right? That's in it's the small above light the fixture. Door.
Yeah, right above the door, yeah.
Would it be possible to make the sign fit between the light fixture and the top of that panel and have it be recessed against the panel instead of hanging in front?
We can do that. I mean, I would have to take a look.
I don't know what the size is. It's hard to tell.
I don't know if I have a picture.
Because part of it is that it's round and the arch is oval and it's hanging out in the middle of the.
And that's the other thing. That's the other thing with their logo. It's a round logo. I mean, I tried to get them to change it. They really didn't want to.
It's a really attractive logo. It's just it doesn't fit on the oval arch, but I think
that's the issue.
If it were against the wall, either on the side or above the light fixture,
you might be able to push it back to that back panel. I'm just not sure if I have a picture without the mock-up on the front of it.
I think that would make a big if it were actually on the panel and not the arch. I think it would make a big difference. Right. I don't really have an opinion on the logo. That's their logo, and if they want to draw attention to it, I don't blame them at all. If it could just be slightly smaller and be between the light and the top of the arch, I think it would.
I think we can do that. I can't find it. Let me pull up Google Maps to see if I can look at the front of that. I think there's plenty of room to do that if we knock the sign down a little bit. Let me pull up Google Maps. I love Google Maps for this kind of stuff.
John and Miranda, I think that's a really excellent idea to break it down and push it back. I think that would really solve the problem.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the Google Maps photo, and I think if we knocked it down, we could definitely get it between the light and the top of the arch.
Beautiful. Let's agree on that and try to move on.
Go ahead.
But what are we agreeing on? Is he coming back?
We're agreeing that, I don't know, that either you're going to come back to us or one of us will take a look and see that you knock this thing down and it fits inside there.
I can send it to whoever. I'll go down, you know, in the next day or two, take a measure.
Send it to me if you can mock it up like this, showing that it fits right in there.
Okay.
I'll distribute it to the commission. And we can approve this and get a C of A going for the next meeting, contingent on your meeting, the requirement we just set for you.
Okay, that sounds good.
Bueno.
I'll get that done ASAP.
All right, we got to go through our motion ritual. Motion to find the application complete, please.
I make that motion.
And a second.
Okay.
Thank you very much. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Motion to request city attorney to prepare a C of A contingent on the applicant submitting between now and our next meeting a visual that clearly indicates that piece is tucked in there where we requested it. May I have that motion? Hugh, and a second, Miranda, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, none approved. Next sign, 514 Warren Street.
I believe that one's mine too. Okay, let me get that. That would be the workout place.
514 workout place.
Mm-hmm. So here's the proposed sign. It's way under the 12 square foot. It is 29 by 30, 20, almost 21 by 40. It is also a double-sided half-inch MDO sign. There is an existing bracket on the building. I will pull that up. our next sign. Sorry, not too many signs here to do. This is this one. All right, screen share this. So you can, as you can see, there's an existing bracket there with the arm. We're just going to make a sign and attach it to that. No further, not moving it, no more holes or anything like that in the sign. It is a projecting sign. It is 9 feet, 10 inches to the bottom, which the 8 foot is requirement, so we're way above that. This bracket we already took a look at. It's solid. There's no modification to it. Just basically going to make this sign and hang it off of there. Any question?
Yeah. Are you inviting the commission to come over and work out?
Yes, he's a really nice guy. He does some really, he just opened up. He's got some really, he doesn't really do workouts. It's more about conditioning and strength training. So if you have a pulled muscle, he's the guy to see.
All right. If there are no comments, may I have a motion to find the application complete?
I make that motion.
Thank you very much, Paul. And a second, please.
Second.
Thank you, Miranda. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? None. Approved. Next, Tom.
Next one is the Poor Candle Bar. This is a little bit more elaborate sign. This is the sign. The share screen. This sign is 36 by 32, so we're 9 square feet. It's going to be a carved HDU double-sided signs, going to look like a big ball of wax up there because they do candles, as it says. And they wanted the old school look of a stamp like they used to do in the back in the day of an envelope when you stamp your logo in it. That's exactly what this sign is going to look like. It's the HDU. There is an existing rotting bracket there that's about ready to fall down. It's a round tube, just a round square, a round straight tube. We are going to take that one down. We're going to do a nice square tube instead. Simple, 2 guide wires to hold the weight. And this is what it will look like on the building. Let me grab the right file. So there it is on the building. As you can see, there's one here. This bracket right here below the stairs is coming down. It's, I don't think it belongs to this doorway anyways, but this is the scale. So you can see what it will be like on the building. There is already existing some holes there that we're going to patch. There must have been a sign there at one other time. We're going to fix those, and that's that one. Any questions or concerns?
Nice.
This is going to be a really nice sign, I believe. You know,
very nice.
It's going to look excellent up there. It's just plain and simple, black and white, not a lot of colors.
Motion to find the application complete, please.
I make that motion.
Thank you very much, Paul, Miranda. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Motion to approve the application. Request City Attorney Paul Adore to prepare a C of A.
I make that motion.
Thank you very much, Paul. Second.
Second.
Thank you, Miranda. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. Thank you. Approved. Okay. Next.
Thank you guys for your time.
Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Excuse me. 749 Columbia Street.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Cecile Ruiz. I am going to be representing 749 Columbia Street. We are Bodega Aguila Real. We are a small Hispanic store. We also have partially a like restaurant component to our store. And I've never done this before, so I actually don't know where to proceed after this.
What can you share your screen, Cecile, so we see the design?
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Yes. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So this is what it would look like. Currently, it is just the black building with the open flag that we have. And what we are looking to get is the Bodega Aguilar sign, that little white sign that you see in the center.
Okay.
Cool.
Hold on, let me see if I have this picture. So it's going to say Hispanic food, hot foods. I wasn't really able to get it to turn vertical, sorry.
Is that going to be hanging off the wire of the awning frame, or is that going to be flush up against the building?
It's going to be hanging off of the wire of the awning frame. How do I work this? Yes, do you guys have any questions? It will have a yellow border on the side of it. It's going to have our logo. The measurements. Okay, sorry. So it will be 8 feet wide, 96 inches, and 2 feet high, 24 and 10 inches. So about 2 feet, just like a little more. Relatively, though, it shouldn't take up too much space because I was told it might be a little too large. Do you have any
concerns? You mentioned the awning deck, and that it looks like there's a structure there for an awning.
What the fuck is that?
John, no, your audio
started. Yeah, I didn't quite catch that.
I didn't either. Who spoke?
It was John. Your audio is garbled.
It was a little hoarse. John, are you good on your mic?
I think he's not hearing us either.
Okay.
His headphones might have died.
Sounds like. That said, I'd like to move on. Motion to find the application complete. Anyone?
I just have a question as to whether the sign is within the allowable size for the regulations.
That's up to code.
Yeah.
We're doing the other part. If Craig vets that from a code point of view, it's allowable.
So,
Craig has approved it.
Okay.
Is the awning coming back? We don't see it unless it is. Is the awning coming back? What's the plan for that metal structure?
So the awning, hold on a minute real quick. The awning, we will not have an awning come back. The wiring though is connected to the building. It is from the old Molino bar that was there. Yeah. So we didn't take it down because we thought it might violate the historic code because it was historically there.
Okay.
If you want to take it down, you could ask for permission to do that.
Do I have to do like another meeting for that?
No.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm fine with leaving it.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you guys think though? It's really up to you.
I really like the metal siding on this second floor. And I think the remnant of the 1980s awning skeleton is really kind of cool. So I'm good with it. And I think the sign is nice and a wonderful store. And I think we go with it.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yep.
Motion to find the application complete.
Motion.
Done. Motion to ask City Attorney Polidor to prepare a C of A. Anyone?
Okay. Second.
All. And second, Hugh, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Terrific. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You did a good job, Cecile.
Thank you. What would be the next step? I don't know.
Next step is to get in touch into I'm losing everything. Get in touch with Craig in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And he will be able to give you your actual C of A. And then you're go ahead and do your work.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.
where were we, Columbia Street, 249, 251 Warren. Also a sign. Is there anyone here?
Yeah, that's me for Matthew Signs.
Oh, terrific. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
That's Sarah?
Yes, yep.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. So for 251 Warren, we have a metal pan sign for Jeffrey Good. It's going to be 40 inches by 20 inches. And I don't have screen share, so I will do my best here to show you what it looks like. And it will come off the building with rods that are 10 inches long and is attached to the building with another bracket.
Hey, Sarah, Jeffrey has some kind of signage there now, right?
No, he does not.
Nothing?
Nope, nothing.
Okay.
Yep, this is brand new.
Cool.
So that's what I have for.
Is a real estate sign? Is there not?
I don't. These are these photos that were taken are brand new photos that our sales rep went down and took. So I don't believe there's any signs there at all.
What's up there? Okay.
Looks great to me.
I thought Piggy Pollenberg had a sign hanging off that building.
I don't know anything about. I don't see a sign in the photograph.
We could conditionally approve it based on whether or not there's a sign there.
Sarah?
Yep.
This is Craig, real quick, if you don't mind, and I didn't see it in the presentation until just now, what is the placard near the door?
That I'm not sure. I didn't see it. Actually, I didn't even notice it before either.
Yeah, because we don't have a visual of the front of the building.
All right, I'm going to try to get that.
One sign, one tenant, one on the front of a building, so.
Okay.
If that's the same thing as this proposed sign, then that's obviously not approval. We'll have to go through the other variance process.
For the variance. Okay, yeah, I can find out what that little sign, that little placard is, and maybe it's something they can just take down. If not, we'll just go through the variance, and I'll find out about the Peggy Pollenberg sign as well on that building.
All right. So, commissioners, are you good approving this? I'm pretty sure Peggy's got some kind of signage, whether it's flush or protruding off the building, but I can't imagine she wouldn't. And Craig, you were saying, assuming that there is a real estate sign, what's the implications of that for these guys?
I believe that would be allowable because real estate's an in-home business. I think they can have that. I'd have to research it.
But then Sarah could still go ahead with the sign for her client.
Providing that that little wall placard that she has to tell us if that says the same thing or is for the same business.
Oh, I see. That's what you were saying about two signs. If they're both Jeffrey Good, then he can't have both the plaque and the sign that was just presented.
Right. Exactly. Okay. I'll find out.
Terrific. Motion to find the application complete. You and a second, please. Anyone?
I'll second.
Thank you very much, Paul. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? None. Motion to request City Attorney Polidoro to prepare a C of A. You and Paul, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Okay. And Sarah, you'll send the stuff you said you'd send.
Yeah, I'll find out and I'll let Craig know.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem.
Uh, 437 Warren sign.
Okay. Yep, that's a 36-inch by 36-inch. It's going to be a natural wood hanging sign, and it will be going on an existing bracket. It's going to be made out of MDO. Actually, sorry, natural wood. 36 inch by 36 inch round.
Can you zoom in a little more, sir?
Yeah, sure. It wants to go blurry.
Why? It's hard to go sharing.
Okay.
You guys have any questions about that one?
It's really hard to evaluate without really being able to see the front of the building and putting it in context.
Okay.
Are you sure you can't screen share?
Yeah, I'm on my phone because we don't have computers that have the little camera in them, so. And it's, like I said, 36 inch by 36 inch, and it's just going to be a natural wood with black vinyl lettering on it. It's not going to be carved or anything like that.
It's interesting.
And it's on an existing bracket?
Yes. It's where Time & Co. used to be.
I think that we all know the store and the size fits and there's an existing bracket. I think we could approve this.
I agree. A motion to find the application complete.
I make that motion.
Thank you very much, Paul. Second you. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? None. Motion to ask City Attorney Polidoro to prepare a CV.
I make that motion.
Thank you, Paul. And a second, please.
Second.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Victoria.
Thanks, Victoria.
Aye.
Aye.
All good.
Are there any opposed? None. Okay. Thank you very much. Go, little Vico. What do you have next, Sarah?
I have 239-1, which is also a metal pan sign. It's 30 inches by 15 inches. This one's for a new business for Farrell Barton Blake. They're an architectural interiors business.
Sure.
And it looks similar to Jeffrey Good's sign. Same 10-inch, same 10-inch brackets that come out from the placard that will be attached to the wall.
Looks good.
Hi.
Looks great.
Does. There are no other comments. We have a motion to find the application complete.
I make that motion.
Thank you, Paul. And a second, Hugh?
Sure.
Well done. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? None. Motion to ask City Attorney Polidoro to prepare a CVA.
Motion.
And Hugh, thank you. And a second, please.
Make that motion.
Paul, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Approved. Terrific, Sarah.
Thank you. And I have one more. It's for 417 to 419 Warren Street. This one is going to be a 30-inch by 22-inch MDO wood sign, and it is for a company named Mara Hoffman. Her sign will also be going on an existing bracket as well. The background is white, and the vinyl lettering would be black.
Nice.
I like it. Looks good. I'd approve it.
Me too.
Awesome.
Okay.
Motion to find the application complete. And
motion.
Paul, thank you. A second, Hugh. Well done.
Yeah, I got it. Good.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? None.
Aye.
Motion to ask City Attorney Polidoro to prepare a C of A.
Anyone? Paul? Sure.
Sure, Hugh, thank you. Second.
I make that motion.
Thank you very much, Paul. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None approved. Cool, Sarah. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Thank you very much.
You got everything approved? and you presented some really nice work. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Alrighty.
All right, thanks. I'll be in touch, Craig.
Where are we? Let's do, I've got 422, 424 Warren Street, stoop and railing. And I think that Chip, I believe that's the one where
I'm stepping away.
Okay, understood. Who will be presenting?
I will present. I'm Jessica, and I work with Chip, Bull Architects. Should I just start?
But Jessica, you have your own firm, right?
Yes, I do. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen. Okay, so can you see that?
Sure.
Okay, it's the picture of the stoop. Okay, so we're proposing a restoration of this stoop, and we want to replace this one that was probably built in the 1970s when the basement access was eliminated from this building. This is one of three identical townhouses built in the last half of the 19th century. All three are red brick with bluestone trim, three-story with heavily bracketed roof cornice. Each townhouse features a dramatic projecting bay window above the front door on large brackets. Originally, all three had basement access under the front stoops. This is the eighth adjacent building at 424. It has retained most of the original front stoop design features. The lowest tread at the sidewalk is brownstone and intact. The four treads above the lowest have been replaced by a poured concrete mass, slightly narrower in width. This later modification of treads may have been narrowed to increase headroom to the basement. The narrowing may also have been done so that the handrail could be connected at its top to the wood trim flanking the front door. And actually, I have another picture of that. Later awkward steel brackets are used to connect the top rails to the door wood trim. The stair handrails are not fully intact, and they have been bent into outward curves at the bottom, which show deformed awkward manipulation. This curving also resulted in the removal of the top lamb's tongue cap rail. The flat guardrail that protects the sidewalk from the basement steps is in pristine and original condition. This rail has the double lamb's tongue cap intact and illustrates the original design intent of the handrail beginning and ending with stout iron posts that feature twisted rope design. This original guardrail design does not rely on attachment to a building wall or other handrail. It is this rail that is used to pattern the proposed restoration at 422. The rails at 424.
One that you're using as an example?
This one here.
Yes.
Yeah, the one that you're saying is the...
So I didn't get your question.
I just want to know what the address is of the building.
This is 424, and our building is next door at 422. So that's 424, and this is 422 here. So I have a drawing to share with you of our proposed design. Okay, so one thing about the original guardrail is it is not code compliant. So we have added a 3/8 inch diameter round rod inserted vertically in the double spiral piece so that open areas of the rail do not exceed the size of a 4-inch sphere. This will maintain the original design intent, but also comply with current code requirements. The proposed handrail will be constructed of solid iron steel with same dimensions as the flat guardrail at 424. the handrails will be painted black. There's no physical evidence at any of the three buildings that indicate that the original handrails were attached to the brick walls of the house. Therefore, the proposed rail is fully mounted into the brownstone treads, using the width of the existing lowest tread at 424, the proposed rails can be grouted a secure distance from the tread ends and still not conflict with wood trim surrounding the front door. The lowest tread of the proposed stoop also has slightly radius vertical corners, as does the existing tread at 424. Since the basement access has been eliminated at 422, the base below the proposed brownstone treads is to be surface-based with 2-inch thick bluestone veneer, which will match in material the bluestone trim used in the original construction of the townhouse. And that's pretty much everything.
Okay. Thank you. Question for the commission is this fix up railing and tread work appropriate? But start with comments. Not so much.
Could we again see the picture with the other houses?
Sure.
The photograph?
I mean, scale-wise and design-wise, it seems appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love the idea of reproducing those beautiful railings. I think that.
What are the stairs themselves made of?
The treads are bluestone, and then the sides are going to have the treads are brownstone, and the sides will have a bluestone veneer.
Yeah, nice.
I like it. I think it
looks good to me.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Excellent. I have a motion to find the application complete.
I make that motion.
Thank you, Paul. Any second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
None opposed. Motion to waive a public hearing and ask City Attorney Polidoro to prepare a C of A.
I make that motion.
Thank you, Paul. Second, anyone?
Second.
Thank you very much, Miranda. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Motion's approved. Application's approved. Good job.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. How do we get in touch with our colleague and bring him back?
I'll call him.
Right. I'm here.
Oh, okay.
He's back.
Now that was magic. All I had to say is bring Chip back.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like
he's back.
And he's back.
I'm back.
Terrific. We're going to skip past 400 State, as I said up front. 226 Union. Who's here representing 226 Union? Walter has his hand up.
It's me, Phil Ham.
Okay.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Very well.
Hi, Phil.
For some reason, I can't get my camera.
In a while.
I apologize. Oh, well. It's not working.
You might have to restart, but let's see how far we can get.
Yep. I'm going to leave the meeting and rejoin.
Phil, how long do you need?
I'm just going to leave and then hit the link to join back in. Everything should be set up for the camera to work. But...
Okay.
There he is. We can see you, Phil.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Yes.
Very good. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Why are you being so nice, Hugh?
It's just my job.
Phil's my guy. He's a good guy.
I find it brings out the best in me. So I think Craig had some questions about zoning, so I don't know if we want to get those out of the way first, or if we want to...
Oh, if Craig did, yeah. Otherwise, no.
Yeah.
But, Phil, I'm kind of unsure where we were at with a zoning review on this, because it appears to me it definitely needs one.
To use
the whether it requires variances, and I mean it's I believe you're adding the height to a structure. Is this going to be a residential unit, or what's it going to be?
It originally started out that it was going to be an art studio, but they clients have decided that it would just be a sort of a guest bedroom. There's no kitchen. There is a bathroom.
So that there alone creates a habitable, you know, sleeping area. So there's a different code review that's required, and it may even require a variance through the zoning process.
Yeah.
I think you may be able to move forward with historic, but if it does require a zoning review, I just won't approve your building permit until we get
there. Yeah, absolutely. I would, after this meeting, sit down with you and discuss what that path is.
Yep.
We did get approval for two stories when we went for a bulk area regulation zoning variance.
Yeah, and that's where I'm unsure, because that sounds to me like that original application is now changing.
I guess we should sit down and review that to see if it is in fact changing.
But with that said, Phil, I think there's no reason why you can't move forward on the historic presentation. And if they approve it, if anything changes based on that approval, you would
come back. I understand.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Craig.
Yes, thank you. All right. So basically what we're looking to do is there's an existing CMU garage that we want to knock down and build a new structure in its place, two-story parking on the first floor, and then stair up to an open second floor with a bathroom. I'm going to share my screen with you. Do you see that?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so this is a view from the alley. This here is the garage door. There are double hung windows above the door. We're looking to go with a flat roof so we keep the height as minimal as possible. This is the existing garage.
Piece of shit.
Here's a view from the street, looking back through the open yard that's to the right of the house, and you'd see the garage through that area to some degree. Obviously, the photograph has more plantings and vegetation to screen the view than my computer model does. The intention is that it would be clavered to match the house. These double hung windows are Marvin Elevates, which is a fiberglass window. They're looking to, just try to tighten the budget up as much as possible. With the garage doors, obviously, are glazed as well. here's a front view. There'll probably be some lights that get added over the garage door. I didn't have it on the computer model.
The roof does not look flat from here. Is the roof flat or peaked?
You can see here it's got a slight peak to it, but it looks flat from ground level. Again, to avoid going too tall. And then here you can see the existing compared to what would be built. This is the view from inside the yard. And you'd see this inside the yard. Basically, the elevations are the same both sides of the building for the yard and for the alley. And then on the site plan, the red indicates where the existing garage is, and the new location for the newly built garage is built here, so that it gets centered on this back width of the house.
So is the footprint the same size, but it just moved over a bit?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I show what, this is the new elevation on the side of the house. The new elevation on the rear of the house, which you see here. The idea is that I want to play off of the verticality expressed on the windows with the design layout on the garage. And that's what it was.
I think in terms of design, the building is in keeping with a lot of the garages and rear buildings on a lot of the alleys. And of course, a modern version of it, but the clapper, the moldings, I like it. I think it's in keeping with the house and the neighborhood.
I think it's really beautiful, but I would also say that, as we've discussed in this commission before, it's changing the massing, right? Like, things that we've done in the past have generally been, sure, you want to replace this 1950s garage, but replace it with something that's the same story, the same, like, the same general feeling. And I will say it again, this is really lovely, but it is different. And I wonder if it doesn't merit a public hearing. I'm sorry to be broken record.
Yeah, well, there are a fair amount of flat roof or very low slope roof garages throughout the city, so I was looking to those as a source of inspiration.
Now, that's the fact that the roof is flat is not really a problem. It's just that it's now two stories, so it is considerably more massive than it was before.
Yeah, it does look a little imposing. As we look at it on the screen, and it certainly is different.
But I also think that there are.
What other zoning requirements are outlined for this accessory building?
They limit garages to 15 feet high.
And how tall is this?
Getting that right now. To this point here,
yes.
It's about 20 feet.
Ooh.
Which is why I didn't want to do a gable roof or a taller roof on the building, is to minimize that.
I'm sorry, Phil, you had a conversation, I think, up front with Craig that... There may be some discussion of zoning, and you'd have to come back to us if there are any changes. Is that correct?
Yes, I would definitely be.
So beyond that, I don't think it's.
I'm curious what the variance was for. Did the variance limit the height to 20 feet?
Can I real quick, just Craig?
Yep.
I'm looking at your variance approval from 2019.
Jesus.
And all it ever indicated was the attachment to the existing structure to the main residence. There's nothing in there indicating the accessory structure being demolished and reconfigured, because the first step with that is an existing non-conforming can only remain existing non-conforming when demolished if it gets put back in the same exact footprint. If that changes, then it has to fall into a compliance to our code, and in most cases this will not, so it's definitely going to need an area variance based on the 15-foot setback rule. And, of course, the lot coverage and everything. Once you move that structure, now it has to come in compliance with the zoning code. And we have no record of any of that. The only record we have is, of course, the proposal that was presented back in 2019. And I believe that was by yourself and the applicant's attorney, Crystal.
Ed Crystal.
Yeah, I'm looking right at it, and there's nothing in there indicating moving that building. With that said, I mean, I can't tell this commission or even make any type of input on what they should do, but I can tell you this, that what you're proposing to the building code will not be approved.
What I suggest is that the board give feedback on compatibility, but that you hold off on voting, because it sounds like there may be, you know, some additional changes that have to be made.
I agree with that approach.
And just so everybody knows, this was why I was trying to reach out to, you know, to Phil Ham, the presenter, because I wasn't 100% sure what was going on and what was being proposed matched up to what their zoning was previously, and now I was able to find it and locate it. So otherwise, it would have never even got to this point if I would have had this, you know.
Okay.
I apologize for that.
Not at all. It actually was interesting to see,
I think it's really valuable for the commission to provide some feedback. I like the way that Victoria has outlined our role with this. I think that that makes perfect sense for us to be able to give them some feedback. Phil, you feel like it's better that we don't speak at all. I'm easy either way.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
I'm sorry, I was asking Phil Foreman.
Okay.
Phil Ham. Foreman, I think we have two ways that we could go with this. As Victoria outlined, we could provide some completely non-committal observations and opinions about it, but not vote on it. The other approach would be not to review it at all until it comes back from zoning.
I think we should wait till it gets through zoning, in my opinion. Like, we shouldn't direct our cycles at something that may not be permissible.
Well, I guess what I was thinking was, if the board felt strongly about a gabled roof and he has to go for a height variance, it might be good to have that input now versus him getting a variance for flat roof and then you come back and say we really prefer something taller. I was just talking about big picture items.
To your point, Chip, thank you. But you know me, I'm just crazily laissez-faire. I think my only issue right now is my body, where I'm struggling to maintain, and that would be the only reason to shorten the conversation. I actually think this is a very cool concept. I think that the alleys, in some cases, open up an opportunity for a little bit of experimentation that might be somewhat different than stuff that we would do on the main drags. And yet, at the end of the day, this is actually a rather conservative design using familiar themes and materials I don't know. I think it's a pretty nice piece of work. I understand the issue of mass
And that's probably the single biggest concern about what is happening and is going to continue to happen on the alleys. It's extraordinarily tempting for a homeowner, if they're going to invest all that money, to take advantage of the opportunity to actually have something more than a garage and create some real space. And if that happens over and over again, the beautiful light that defines the alleys eventually will go away. But
and that's why I think that's why the citizenry gets an opportunity to contribute their opinion and should be considered.
Okay. But if we're going to do a public hearing, we should bring forward what the real deal is. And I'm going to suggest we wrap up this conversation and let Phil go back and go through whatever zoning approvals he needs.
I would just like to offer one thing quickly, Phil, about the 15-foot height limit. There are setback requirements as well from the backyard and from the side yard. The 15-foot height requirement is essentially in zoning saying this can be a one-story building or a one-and-a-half-story building. At 15 feet, it's not really high enough to include two full stories. Mm. And I think there are just really serious zoning issues, and you just brought it up, about light and air and, you know, all the modifications that are potential if everyone were to build a building of this size on their lot, then the alley becomes a streetway, not necessarily an alleyway.
That's right. I agree with that. I think it's very well said.
I think that's a concern for the commission.
Okay.
Such as fire protection, smoke alarm systems, proper egress systems, things of that nature.
Thank you.
All right. Commissioners, I would ask that we follow some wise advice and move on and ask them. And first of all, congratulations, Phil, on your work, but we're going to ask that you go ahead through the zoning process and then come back to us.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, my God. Everybody have a good day.
451 East
Avenue. Can you go on mute?
Hang on one second.
Can you go on mute, please?
I'm sorry, I missed all that. Is there anyone here from 451 East Allen?
Yes, that's me, Gerard Eisler.
Hi, Gerard. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm calling you guys from the road. So 451 East Allen, that's pretty much a restoration and very little as far as, really no alterations. So why don't I just share what I have? And let's see here. I am going to share my screen. Okay. Can you see my screen?
No.
No.
Not so much.
Not so much. I might not
know. All right. Let's see here.
There you
all
go.
Right. Okay. That should be coming up. Let's see here. Okay. So here on the screen, that first image that we have here is the house in its original, or close to its original state in the early 1900s. And you can see the stairway there up to the house, which is one of the things that we're going to be rebuilding. And also on the second floor, right above the entryway, there's a railing there that we're also looking to recreate. The windows and the shingles and all those things will remain the same. The windows will be restored because they're in good condition. And then the two pictures right below are the existing. And right now it's just kind of like a makeshift, you know, walkway there because it was used as a commercial residence and the railing is not there. And the images right below are actually our next door neighbor who has pretty much the identical house and was created by the same architect. And you see they produced the railings there at the top, and also they have restored their staircase, which is wood, which is what we're proposing. and really just creating the identical railing in the second floor. And so this next image are the drawings from the architect, John Loescher. And so here are the staircase, the profile of the staircase will have the same shingles as the house has, and will also be painted the same color as the house. And in the photo next to it is just showing the front of the stairs and the proposal there, and you know, going up to the house. And on the next drawings, you'll see just a little bit more detail, and the stairs will be made of wood, and you know, keeping in line with what was there originally. And then the last image here I have is the railing at the second floor, which is the you know, as mentioned earlier, the identical profile is what the neighbors have done next door, which was part of their restoration. And that's it.
Cool. Thank you.
Did I see in your drawing that the handrail, the baluster on the second floor is a board slab, but then is cut out in the shape of a more highly turned piece?
Yes.
And so it's like an inch and a half thick. It's a board, and the front of it is cut out to form the shape of an urn-shaped turned baluster.
Yes.
And is that the case with the property next door?
I believe so. I can't say for sure because I haven't actually been up there.
Uh-huh. Do you have that photograph of the house next door?
Yeah.
You could look at it?
Sure. I can pull that up.
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it looks like. It's very cool. It's a lovely, it's a very cool design. Very nice.
Thanks. Well, thanks to them, and thanks for that compliment as well. Mm-hmm.
That looks very good.
Can you take us back to your house again? Yeah, this enlarge the drawing at the bottom underneath the photograph. Yes, this one on the right-hand side, just your after picture, what you intend for it to look like.
Yeah, this is the intention right here.
Right, so you're keeping that scooped railing on the top of the steps, and just adding in the steps with a box on either side.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the sides of that box
and the columns. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's nice.
Very nice.
It'll be nice to see that house take shape.
Yeah.
I live nearby.
It's slow going, but it'll get there.
Yeah.
Any other comments, folks?
No, I like it.
That's perfect. I do too.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's going to look terrific. A motion to find the application complete.
I make that motion.
Thank you, Paul. And a second?
Second. You
in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Motion to waive a public hearing and request city attorney to prepare a CBA.
I make that motion.
Paul, thank you. And you second in favor? Aye. Any opposed? None. Approved. Thank you.
Well done.
Great. Thank you.
Good presentation.
Where am I? 202 Allen Street. And I apologize for jumping the queue a little bit on this, but it was an application that came in March, and I think we missed it. And they need to finish their work. Kim, you're here?
I am. Hi. And Kate's here as well, of course.
Hi. Okay, hello, everyone.
Good morning, y'all.
Hi. Okay. Thank you for fitting us in. So to jump right into it, we had visited with you, I want to say a month ago, to talk about doing some doors and lights. Today we're talking mostly about signage, so let's just go right through it. I should be sharing my screen. If I'm not, please.
You are.
So our site, we're not changing anything as far as the location or the amount. This, of course, is the building. we can flip back to these if you need. I mentioned the prior approval or some sliding glass doors, double painted hollow metal doors, emergency lights, and fabric awnings above windows. This time around, we're looking for new signage and entry lighting on Partition Street, new banners on South 2nd and Allen, new vinyl graphics on Allen Street, and the previously approved awnings, we have a minor design update that we wanted to bring to your attention for approval. So looking at it, this is, of course, Partition Street. This is South 2nd. We are looking to relocate the existing wall sconce. That is basically where the new sliding glass door is. We're just looking to move it over and reuse it. We want a new signage light that'll blow up these raised letters that we have here. We are indicating the location of the new fabric banners and then the awning change. The only difference is we put end caps so they're finished on the sides before they were just open. We think it's a better finished look. Mm-hmm. And then just noting the exterior finish paint remains the same. We do have some lines going around doors. And then going to look at the view of the corner of Allen Street here. This is South 2nd. Again, we're showing the awnings with the sides. We show fabric banners. And then we have new signage at the glass that'll be vinyl. If I just zoom into these elevations just to be a little bit more clear again, just fading over and over the awnings, the fabric banner locations, the two lights, the signage, and then, of course, the vinyl graphic here, which we'll see, of course, the logo and indication as far as the ADA accessible entrance on Partition Street. And I believe that's basically it. Then we just show some more details as far as the signage itself.
Forgive me, Kim. John Chobel, if you're there, could you take over for a bit? I got to step away.
I am here and I can. But Phil, I have to drop it 12 for sure.
Thank you very much, John. I just need to get some water or something.
No problem.
Can I just comment? I like everything about what I'm seeing. The only thing I would question, and I think we might have to discuss, is the banners on the corner of 2nd and Allen.
2nd and Allen, that's yeah. Side.
Right there, yeah.
Why are you questioning that?
Well, because it's a very residential neighborhood.
Mm. Uh-huh.
But this is an industrial building that's been there for a long time. It's clearly not a residential building.
No, it's not, but it's in a residential neighborhood.
So you're suggesting maybe one banner or no banners?
Maybe just one and keep that on 2nd, but even that, there's...
Well, then you also have to, there's another question, which is does it really serve the facade well to have those hanging there?
Yeah.
Right in that element. But go ahead, Miranda, please.
No, I'm just gonna be a little contrarian here. I think it does call out the fact that this is a commercial building and an industrial building. It is a mixed neighborhood. It's true that mostly it's residential. But I think that's a justification for having the banner, actually, so that people will be able to find what they're looking for in this residential neighborhood. I think it's very much in keeping with the style of the building that it's on. Even though
they're not very, I don't think they're extremely large either. They're not overwhelming.
No.
I mean, if you want to do one, I understand that, but I definitely think there could be one and it wouldn't be intrusive.
Let's see if other commissioners have an opinion. Chip, do you care either way?
Yeah, I think, as Miranda said, this is an industrial building. It is, but I appreciate the point that Paul is making about it being in a residential zone. I think it's really important to be sensitive to the residential aspect of it. I think that I'm not so troubled by the banners. I think it would be really important that they not be lit. I don't know. I think that lighting is probably of this building is maybe a greater issue relative to its being part of a residential zone. For instance, I don't find the banners. I think the banners are in keeping with the building, and I think they're celebrating, as Miranda says, it's an industrial building. So I'm not upset. I'm not bothered by them as much as by the potential for how the building will be lit, because I think that's will have a greater impact in being sensitive to the residential zone than the banner.
I'm going to speak on it as the commissioner. I don't actually like the band. I mean, they're beautiful, right? They look lovely and elegant. But I'm just reminded of how what they call out to me is how much I love the facade of this building. And it's an architectural element added to this building. I understand the commercial purpose for it, but that's not what the evaluation is. And if it were up to me, I wouldn't have the banners. And if the commission was against the banners, I also would.
How do you feel about the one banner compromise? Take it
off the facade and
put off the Allen Street side and keep it on the Second Street side.
I would find it a great compromise.
And just to be clear, there's one here. So this is on South Second
and Partition.
On South Second, then this is Allen. So there's three total.
And it's more about the appropriateness of this new architectural element on this historic building. It's historic in a different context, right? So for me, it's about that rather than whether it's disruptive for the commercial residential.
Yeah, I appreciate. Sorry. I appreciate that comment very much. I think it brings up the matter of the painted sign or the raised letter sign that's on the Partition Street on the alley side. That's one type of signage. And then with these banners, it's the second type of signage. I don't know, maybe the whole graphic assembly would be stronger if it were just, if there weren't banners and there was another graphic as indicated to the left of the door in this image.
My issue with the banners, I'm sorry, Chip, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
My issue with the banners is they're changing the profile of the building, right? And forever. So you're going to see we try to view this in the long term. The banners are an addition to the building forever, and in my opinion, they disrupt the lines in the period. Yeah. So I don't think they're so bright.
I'm
so excited for the project. I hope this doesn't come across in any way, Kate and Kim, is negative about the project. It's going to be stunning. I'm looking at it through a different lens.
I think that with the addition of the awnings, which changes the profile of the building as well, having, you know, the banners, which are, I think, in proportion and serve the purpose of, you know, what they need to do, are not, I just feel that they are appropriate for a commercial building. And, you know, just for me, I don't have a problem with, I would lose one of them in the front, and I don't have a problem with it. That would be my take.
I agree with you. And I also sympathize very much with Chip's comments about the lighting, which in terms of whether it's disruptive to the...
But the lighting's not really... Is the lighting
but the
really
lighting changing? Isn't a problem, but we would... You know, I do agree that these banners shouldn't be lit. They're not asking to light them. We should be sure they wouldn't be.
Yeah, and as far as the lights, these sconces are all existing. This one would be relocated about 2 feet to the right. It exists about here today. And then this light, of course, would be a wall washed light that would just light up the sign. It would not intrude upon the street or the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think the fact that that's in Partition Street, which is kind of an alley, I think that actually is suitable in that spot.
So to go back to the banners, and I completely hear both of your sides, and I know that the argument is as far as, you know, wanting to bring attention to the commercial space, that's not the argument here, of course. This is looking at the building and its historical significance and you know, being thinking, as John was saying, about the overall profile. I'm sure we could talk about a compromise, and Kate, of course, stop me if I'm wrong, but I just want to make sure we're clear on what that compromise is that you'd be proposing. What I'm hearing, it sounds like it would be one of these to be removed.
I'm going to say, just from my perspective, I would approve everything except the banners. And then if that's the vote, I would vote yes on that. And then there's obviously people that would approve it as it is. So.
Well, I would remove the banner that's on the Allen Street side, that one. Because I think Chip and everybody's made a good argument about that facade having a period look.
And you do have the vinyl.
And there's no awnings on that side or anything. So I think that that maintaining that facade has some value.
And you do have the vinyl in the front entryway on the Allen Street side with the Talbot and Arning logo. So if we were to take off one banner off the front facade and leave the other two, I personally am okay with that.
Kate, do you have any reaction to that?
No, I mean, I'm fine with that. I mean, I do understand, you know, both, you know, all the perspectives. I think the purpose in our minds for having the banners was because it is essentially a three-sided frontage, as it were, to the business. If people were driving, you know, from Allen Street or Second Street or Partition, the building would be identifiable. You know, originally we were thinking of having the Talbot and Arding written on the awnings, and we dropped that idea because it was sort of too much, I felt. But yes, I mean, obviously we're here to comply. So, you know, if we have to lose a banner or two, then so be it.
I think if you lost both of the banners, then I would vote for it right away. But I'm only one vote. There's six people here.
Well, so where are we? We have to take. We want to vote on this.
I had a question. I'm sorry, I stepped away, but I followed this bit of the conversation. The logo that you're using, the round logo that's embraced into the wall, is fairly significantly different from the logo you're using on the banners. Is there a theory of the case on that?
You're talking about on the Partition Street side.
There's what's emblazoned in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not the same logo as used elsewhere.
We looked at various options for the design of the banners, and if you look in at the actual logo, which is the one left to the left of the door.
Yes, that is your logo.
There's quite a lot going on, you know, sure, in that. And when we were doing the mock-up designs and we tried that on the banner, it was quite difficult to read. So, especially from a distance, and I think simpler is better. And so for that reason, we collectively went with this simpler design.
Understood.
I'd just like to say that I'm good with the banners. With three of them, and I think I think it carries with the building, and I love the normal harmony that the board has. And John, I have a great deal of respect for your opinion, but I just got to tell you, I'm okay with it.
So, Chip, you would lose Allen Street, though.
No, I like. I think they're all good. I think the three banners are okay. Fine.
So I may not be tracking. I think what we should do is take our regular process in terms of the completion of the application, and then vote up or down on the presentation as it is being presented now, with all the banners, and see where that takes us. And then if we have to compromise, we'll bring that to the discussion. May I have a motion to find the application complete?
So moved.
Done. And a second, please.
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Mm-hmm. Aye.
Opposed, none. I'm asking then that the commission vote on the solution that was brought to us today by the applicant with... What is it? Three banners in the awnings?
Right.
Yes.
Is that correct?
And the back logo on
that
the,
was on the
door.
Table, and that was a presentation. And then we can talk about if we need to take another step. All in favor of what was proposed? Well, we can do this by roll call. I think it makes sense. We're just voting on what was proposed by the applicant. Miranda?
Yes. I vote for that.
You?
To keep.
Yeah, aye. As is. Fine.
Paul?
Oppose.
John Chobel?
Oppose.
Chip?
Approve. Yes.
Phil? Aye. Was anyone counting?
4-2.
4-2.
Looks like we're what?
4-2.
Four ayes, two noes.
Okay.
It's done. City Attorney Polidoro, did we do that right?
Yep. Four is a affirmative vote.
Okay. It's approved.
Awesome.
Thank you guys very much for what you brought to the city of Hudson on all kinds of dimensions, starting with great food and followed by great architecture.
Well, thank you. We look forward to welcoming you in there in hopefully 6 or 7 weeks. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Really exciting.
Good luck, Kate.
Thank you.
Okay. We saved possibly the best for last with Walter Chatham and 400 State Street. And I have seen most, if not all, the communications back and forth. I appreciate all of the research work that that Gossips did. That Paul Barrett did, and of course, the work that Walter did. And I'm asking, I know that the topic can get a little intense, that we remain kind with one another and thoughtful about what everybody has to present, because everybody's presenting with great thought and has to date. So we should lead right now then with 400 State. The topic is, as I understand it, very specifically, tends to come down to 9/9 versus 12/12. There's other stuff around that, but I think that is the focal point. And Walter Chatham, thank you for your patience. I put you at the end, not as punishment, but because I knew this was an important discussion and wanted it, all the other stuff out of the way. So I appreciate your hanging in.
I'm delighted. May I share my screen?
Please do.
Okay. Let's see if this works. Here we go. Can you see my screen?
No, not yet.
Oh, dear. All right. This happens sometimes.
It'll come.
Is it happening? I see my screen. You don't see it?
No.
Okay. Let me try this again. All right. I see. Oh, boy. Okay. How about now?
Right. Yes.
All right. Okay. So thank you, everybody. I'm going to be really brief. I think we've all, I've had a wonderful debate with Carol and Gossips. I think everybody understands their different points of view. My point of view, coming at this from the point of view of an architect who is working today in conditions that are different, but psychologically and culturally probably very similar to the early 19th century, the period of this building is after the Americans have won the revolution. And more than that, we've beaten the Brits back. And in 1818, we signed the something something Bagot Treaty that guaranteed free navigation of the Great Lakes and opened the border to Canada for trade and also established permanent borders, all conditions for a peaceful country that no longer needed medieval windows to shoot Indians through were bivouac British troops or American troops, whoever was occupying Harvard when troops were back in Harvard. So I maintain quite simply that when you see a fanlight window, that's a signal that it's a federal building. And if it's a federal building, the owners were aspirational, just like people who want to put balconies on buildings now to make them look more aspirational. And you would have shown everybody that you could buy the biggest windows that money could buy. And so I think we're arguing. I wrote Carol this morning in the best of spirit, you know, you wouldn't wear Earth shoes to a Donna Summer concert. There's fashion. And fashion is what's missing here. What works for an insane asylum doesn't work for a federal style building built in 1818, I believe, in my heart of hearts. So having said that, you know, we've got the quote here from the reliable source that says thin wooden mullions. Before the Revolutionary War, the standard light was 6x8, but as glazing technologies improved, sizes increased to 8x13. Generally, windows featured 6x6 lights, although 9x9 and other configurations can also be found in federal-style homes. And then my favorite quote of all, which keeps me sane, Thomas Jefferson, if it's that important, don't ever give up. Okay. Now, I think this is an interesting situation because I'm willing to go to the mat for what I think is a question of style. That's all we're talking about is architectural style. And so if we want to talk facts, here's a factual representation of an actual house in Nantucket with 9x9 windows, no big deal. It's a small house with small windows. If they were 12x12s, they would have been excellent for defensive purposes, but not so great for letting light in the house. That's what windows do. They let light in. Everybody knows this house. I've been accused of showing weird projects from all sorts of places in the world. I was trying to show a limestone building with a sympathetic window. I can't find another limestone building in Hudson. So here's a brick one. Pretty good pedigree, I think. And there's the fanlight window. The door is identical, the six-panel door to the engraving that everybody's talking about. And because it's not a lunatic asylum, it has domestic scale windows in fashion and appropriate to the time. So that is what we were asking permission to do. Here's a rendering that shows modifications that most importantly include an exact dimensioned representation of the existing window opening with a 9x9 window built in. And I'm going to explain that very quickly. I'm not going to belabor this. But again, all the hallmarks are there that this is a federal building. Find me federal buildings that were built deliberately with 12x12 windows that are not of such a scale that that gives you big glass. All I'm arguing is that people didn't put little windows in if they didn't have to, just like today. So these are the measured drawings that we've made. A couple of things I want to explain very quickly. I discovered this frame exists because the masonry wall is solid. There's no place to put sash weights. And although one would assume this building was built before sash weights, the windows at some point were adapted. So there is an existing frame there. And this is pretty much a typical window setup with the existing details. You can see this is about 1.5 inches, 2 inches, 2 inches, so forth. So we've analyzed the old windows. We believe this is the correct proportion. And here is a 9x9, and you end up with a pane that is 9.5 inches by 10 inches. So just ever so slightly high. And miracle of miracles, it seems to work with the other openings in the building. Here's a section, and I can blow this up if it's useful. And I think you all also have this, so sorry. Yeah, I don't know if this is helpful or not, but you know, I've gone to quite a bit of length to actually draw it as it would appear with the double hung window in the frame. And then I have a photograph which hopefully I can find now. Okay, inside. So this is obviously the thickness of the wall here. Can you see that? Am I sharing my screen?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
So this is the thickness of the wall here. And this is that area that's on the outside, which is about 4 inches total, which is covering a box that actually contains the sash weights. You can see there's the pulley there. So our proposal essentially is to leave all of this is intact. And as Carol pointed out, the sash was replaced and the sash is the operable part of the window when it was made into an asylum. So we're asking permission to replace the current 2/2 sash, which would we passionately, with all of our heart and intellect, believe would be the appropriate historical window. They'll be made as thin as possible in terms of the muttons and putty, the famous putty on the outside, and there's the profile that everybody says is the correct federal profile on the inside. And I believe that that concludes my presentation.
Hey, Walter.
Yes.
It's Phil.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to keep up with the information coming in. It is my best understanding that from the woodcut from whatever that was, 1830, which was broadly seen in some other stuff, that during the asylum period of this building, what was in there was 12/12s, or at least that's what depicted.
Totally uncontested, factually agreed to at 100%.
Okay, so then the question is, I guess,
sorry,
that was, we've documented, the point you're making is, sure, at that time, that was appropriate if you were in the insane asylum business. But if you were not in the insane asylum business, the probability is fairly high that you would not have used 12/12. You would have had a solution that offered more light. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And I further would maintain that aside from the fact that we all agree it's not a brick building, which this rendering suggests, that if you actually look at the way these windows are drawn, you see there are lines there that suggest they did overlay, in fact, what Carol said. They took out the old sash and replaced it with a cheerful, white-painted metal sash. And again, you know, Chip Bowl was talking about how, or sorry, the person presenting for Chip's office was talking about how they're inserting a very delicate metal rod in what originally wouldn't have had a rod in order to maintain the required less than 4-inch separation of the pickets. I maintain that when I want to punch my hand through the window, that window is made so I can't grab the attendant by the throat when I get it through. I'm not being facetious. These bars were put on this window for a purpose. And again, I'm sorry to be so long-winded, but it just seems to me that when you consider this element right here, which almost seems to suggest, in spite of the poorness of the rendering, a kind of delicate filigree, and then you compare it to this idea that this had, you know, these very large panes up here, meaning a foot or larger, right. And then you're going down here to a different scale. And why is that? Did the designer really do that on purpose? I say no.
So let me continue my quest on this a little bit. The fact that there were in fact 12/12s is uncontested. The fact that at the same period of time, in many situations that were not insane asylums, that there were other solutions. 9/9 or whatever, more appropriate to a residential situation. The other aspect of these 12/12s is that, again, because of the purpose that they were there for safety, they were reinforced with metal and whatever. In a sense, it was a purposive solution for this particular application, which was appropriate to that. But if that application had not been what was going on, then 9/9 or something else probably or almost certainly would have been used, and there certainly wouldn't have been metal rods. The other then issue is we're in the appropriateness business. And what's facing the commission now is the fact that we can document that as an insane asylum, there were 12 over 12s. And the fact that we can document as historians and architects and other bright people, excluding me, who doesn't know that much, that 9/9 certainly would have been appropriate to a building of this period. And that's the end of my thought, and other folks should query this further.
Well, I'll just speak. I don't want to be long-winded at all. This is about style and evolution of architecture and appropriateness and all of those things that are within our purview. And, for me, I think it's appropriate and it looks good. And for all the other reasons that Walter had brought up, I think that it's going in a very good direction and it looks terrific. And, it's 2021, it's not 1821. And, here we are trying to make a building great again. And I feel strongly that we're going in that direction. So I'm for it.
I mean,
the 9/9s.
I'm going to argue the opposite view, which is that if everything is a matter of style, then what's the purpose of historic preservation, right?
But it depends on the use. I mean, there's been.
Can I just say sorry? I meant the style of the time.
Of the
I
time. Meant yes.
What they would be looking at in 1818. Wow,
that's what I'm saying.
But it defies, in my opinion. First of all, we have the engraving. That's the hardest thing to get over. Like there it is. Right, so everything else is some kind of is speculative in my opinion. And the second thing is, why did they change? They changed every detail in this massive facade in such a short period of time. And this like that also, Atkins Razor. What's most likely to be is, and that is those are the things that I find very hard to get by. The only reason that in the last meeting I went along was because to Hugh's broader point, we have to get. This building deserves love. It deserves the attention it's getting. It deserves a future as well as a past. And that's the only reason. But it's intellectually dishonest, I think, from my perspective, to say, oh, those 12 over 12s weren't there. They were.
No one said that.
No. But whether they were there or not there, here we are now. And what makes the building more functional in 2021 and lets more light in and does all of those
things? Is functional
what's that?
Can I just say, the two earliest images we have demonstrate 12 over 12. Anything I've read of asylums or lunatic asylums or mental hospitals is light was important. They wouldn't have gone from larger pane windows to smaller pane windows. And from a practical standpoint, when Dr. White organized the lunatic asylum, he had three benefactors. This was not a public institution. Practically speaking, and someone just made that point, I don't think they went around and changed 50 windows. My interpretation is there was a metal bar reinforcement somewhere that would have prevented opening. But again, I just don't think it would have made sense to go around and change out all the windows from larger panes to smaller panes.
No one agrees that there were 12 over 12s.
Does everyone agree that the building was constructed with something else?
and then turned to 12 over 12 in an asylum?
No.
Probably not. It was an almshouse, and it was probably the same windows. I don't think that's what the discussion is about.
Discussion is appropriate now.
Yeah. I mean, I think John made a very insightful comment last week, I think, when he said this is not the Aesthetics Committee, it's the Historic Preservation Commission. And I think this building is a unique structure in our city. It's not just one of the buildings on one of the side streets. It's really a prominent piece of historic architecture. So whereas in a, you know, one of many buildings, even on Warren Street, I might be convinced by Hugh's argument that, you know, windows change with the times, and we can show that that 9/9 did exist at this period, and so this could have had 9/9 windows. I'm very much convinced by the 8/8 window that still exists in that western gable. If you go over there and look, that is this fenestration.
Excuse me, Miranda, but it's actually in the drawing that's presented.
There's you know, the argument that was made that, you know, the engraving might not be accurate. I think that window belies that. I've really given this a lot of thought because generally I'm on the liberal side in these arguments, but I feel in this case, okay, so the building was an almshouse and a lunatic asylum. That's its history. And that's what we ought to be preserving, I think.
Mm. One other comment regarding the proportion of the windows in your, I'm sorry, Walter, you have a picture up there that you wanted to address. I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's okay. That is the famous window that is supposedly an existing window. I believe this is a commercially made 20th century window. But again, it's kind of moot. For me, what this comes down to is there's an owner who doesn't want to put in the tiny panes and has the option, I believe, of just going with replacing like kind. And I've done my best job to convince you all that as an amateur historian, I believe as a federal building, it's very likely these were 9/9s. You all decide what you want, whatever you want to do, but just please be aware at the end of this discussion, it's going to be a choice for the owner between 2/2 and 9/9. And the 2/2 will be a 2/2, and the 9/9 will be a very pencil thin, mullion, single glazed window that we all dream of. So I don't know what else to say. That is the Solomon-like choice that this committee should make, and I think we should stop talking about any other issues and just decide what you want to do.
If you don't mind, Walter, I'd like to just say a couple things. And with this image that you have up there now, the proportion of that window, which may in fact be the proportion of the second floor windows, which in your proposal would be, I believe, in this window sash.
I'd have six, this, not eight.
Yeah, you would have six. So take this proportion of this window sash that we're looking at right now. And I ask everyone that's looking at it now to say, okay, instead of it being four lights wide, it would be three lights wide. It would still be two in number tall, but three wide. And you can see that the proportion of that glass does become horizontal, not vertical. So I think that it is quite a contribution to this discussion to see this existing four wide light window.
I have to disagree. I'm sorry not to interrupt. Oh,
okay, but let me finish, Walter. Let me finish if I could. The drawing that you have up now, you are showing 5 feet, 4.5 inches of height in the window that is to the left in the bottom page of this image. If you could just bring it up a little bit.
That one. Yeah.
That 5 feet, 4 inches, that includes the, that would be the sash. That would include the bottom rail of the sash, the top rail of the sash, and the middle, the meeting rail of the two sashes. So in that measurement, We don't, I think you have maybe about 2.5 inches of bottom rail and 2.5 inches of top rail. That's 5 inches, and maybe 2.5 inches of the meeting rail, which is narrower than the top and the bottom sash because it overlaps.
I think they're all 2 inches there, Chip, and this is 1 inch, or two, sorry, this is 1 inch here, right?
Okay, so that gets us up to 2 inches, that gets us up to 5 inches, plus the thickness of each mullion, so that the free glass area in this drawing is not 10 inches high of each pane. It'll be less than that because of the simple math of reducing the wood thickness out of this. Now, again, I think that this is, you're thinking about this in terms of 9/9, and the proportions of it ends up with a glass pane that in
oh, Chip, you froze.
I do think we. Let's see.
I did this drawing myself in the computer, and that is a computer measurement there. I just don't know what to say when it comes back.
I'm not understanding. Hey, Chip, can you hear us? Are you going to log back in?
Am I back?
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry. So the fact that this free glass area of the windows is horizontal and not vertical, I think is completely contrary to any building of this. It's completely contrary to this building. I think that the proportion of the free glass area of each pane should be a vertical, not horizontal. I think it's also really interesting that you bring up this issue of the pockets for the sash weights, because it's distinctly possible that this original building did not have sash weights. Mm-hmm. And that would allow you to actually increase the width of the free glass area significantly into the masonry, more proportionally to the masonry opening. And that would bring more light and vision into the building than when it was reduced by the pockets for the sash weights. You showed a photograph earlier from the interior that showed that thickness, which also suggested that maybe there was an interior shutter that may have be original. That would be that. Thank you. Yes, that photograph. You see the panel below the window, and the panel to the right of it. It's, and that recess could have housed a shutter. Could have been a bifold shutter that was drawn across the window. This also could be of the later 19th century. Installation that occurred when they went to a 2/2 window. So I think that it would be very illustrative if you could, if we were to look in a measured way, in the same way that you've measured the 6/6 or the 9/9 windows, if you were to measure this taking out the sash weights and going back to a frame that might be a full inch or an inch and a quarter thick window frame in which is inset the sash, your total free glass area from side to side would increase significantly, could be increased even by 4 or 5 inches in each window. Again, looking at the proportion of the height and the width, I think we'd see that the four window wide pattern, which we see in the existing window and gable, which we see in the etching, that four lights wide is the appropriate design for these windows. And you'd achieve the effect that you and the owner want to achieve, which is more light into the building.
Thoughts, comments? Walter? A question for you. You have kind of put a gauntlet on the table a little bit, or the owner has, which is that it's sort of my way or the highway. That, I mean, that's too harsh, but pretty close. My understanding is that if we do not, if we insist on 12 over 12, that you will use the language in the code that would allow you to do like for like, which would be basically 2 over 2.
Yeah, I think this is said without any rancor. This has been an attempt to find a really great solution to this building that worked for everybody. We have an expedient situation. We need to get windows in. I can see, I just need to close this discussion, and the way to do it is to take whichever option. So all I'm saying is you guys decide what you tell us we need to do from your standpoint, and then the owner will decide whether he wants to do that or do a like-kind replacement, which will obviously be much faster, incredibly inexpensive compared to this hugely massive undertaking, and will satisfy the need for 100% authenticity in the possibility that the engraving is actually a representation of what the building looked like when it was built. So, yeah, that's it.
Folks?
So that was a yes.
If what we're saying,
through the 9 over 9, or the landlord or the owner is likely to go with 2 over 2.
That's my understanding, John.
I'm not being threatening. I'm trying to point out this, that we've been trying to use logically persuasive arguments. People have said, oh, this doesn't suit Hudson. We found a federal contemporary building that has the same windows. People said, well, this isn't the right proportion. I went up myself, measured 16 windows, came up with the fact that the glass would be slightly more vertical according to my 3x drawn dimensions. And so I have a feeling that no matter what I say, there's a conceptual desire to return to that engraving as a form of nostalgia that therefore I have no attempt or no strategy to overcome. And I think we just need to settle on the understanding that if you guys dig in, and the owner doesn't want to do what you want him to do, he has another recourse. And that's all I'm saying.
Alter?
In this drawing which you have up right now, the window that you're showing in the upper right-hand corner of what's visible on the screen, it says it's 4 feet by 2.25 inches. And that dimension is taken to the underside of the head trim that includes the thickness of what would be the corresponding thickness of the sashway pocket. Whereas at your 5 feet, 2.5 inches below that, it's taken to the bottom of that bean pocket.
I apologize. That dimension was meant to correspond to this dimension, Chip. 5 feet, 10.5 inches versus 4 feet, 2.25 inches. Why don't I send you my CAD drawings and you can play with them and see what you determine?
No, I thank you, Walter. That's generous of you, but I think it's really incumbent upon you to bring us accurate drawings that reveal the accuracy of the condition. And I'm just seeing again that the exact measurement of the free glass area of each panel is very important. And I just don't see the consistency in the drawings that you're presenting here that allows the board to make a decision that's favorable to the 6 over 6 or the 9 over 9, where we have a 3 glass wide sash. In this specific building, this specific place, with the specific masonry openings that are there, it does not seem to be an appropriate solution. So, and I appreciate your historical analysis and your and the storyline of this, but I think in this specific building, we have really good evidence that these windows were 4-light wide. And I gotta say, I genuinely think this building will be much, much more handsome with a restoration to a 4-light wide window than it would to a 3-light wide window.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Can we hear from Paul, our historian, on this?
Yeah. Again, I'm just going to go back to, you know, the earliest images we have indicate 12 over 12. And it was not at the height of 12 over 12 windows, but it was certainly still within a period where 12 over 12 would have been included in the structure. And I thought we were hearing that, you know, 12 over 12 replaced windows that had been there earlier, which I don't believe is the case. And again, as I said, the earliest images we have are 12 over 12. And when this became a private hospital that was funded by benefactors, I don't think they would have gone around and changed all of those windows, particularly when light was important in an institution like this. They wouldn't have gone from larger panes to smaller panes. And again, my interpretation of the reference to the metal bar is that was applied. It wasn't, they didn't switch out the window with metal. It was a metal bar that was applied to the window. That's
okay. I don't think anyone is successfully made any argument that 12 over 12 is not what was there.
No, I thought that was one of the...
I believe that Walter withdrew that earlier in the conversation, if he had ever made it, because I asked him before we started this discussion, would you agree that what was there was 12 over 12? And he said that is not contested. So the issue now is we can go ahead and... approve. Well, we actually can't. The application is not presented as anything at this point other than 9 over 9.
That's all we're asking for. So you can vote.
We also had the issue about the front window height and whether they were being reduced or not.
I made those consistent. I noted Chip's objection and I removed that. All the same size.
So to reiterate, so I'm not confused. What it's really down to, whether historically it was this or that or the other thing, Walter is stating that if the 9 over 9 are not approved, then the owner has the right to put in 2 over 2, correct?
Yes.
So that our choice really is, do we want 2 over 2 or 9 over 9? You know, that's it. I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, regardless of what history says or design says or what the commission says, it seems to me. So if that's where we are, that's really our discussion, is it? Is it not?
That is where we are.
So if we take a vote, it's like, do we want 2 over 2 or do we want 9 over 9? I mean, all of the other expert criteria and information aside, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Okay. The owner can move forward with like for like replacement, which is 2 over 2.
Right.
Or choose, if you say he has to do 12 over 12, give him that option, see what he says. But, you know, do what you're going to do.
Walter, let me ask you something. We've worked together on a ton of stuff over the last 6 months. Alger House, I don't remember all the projects, but really a ton of work. And never once in that process ran into such a hard line with one another. What's going on
I've been dropping hints for a while that I think that the proper role of the architect in this community is to try and really look at how to make these buildings sing and find uses for them that are appropriate. I just think the little 12 over 12 windows are medieval. I honestly, intellectually, 100% believe that there's a very strong chance that they were 9 over 9s that were changed, but since that's an unsuccessful strategy with this committee, I'm dropping that. But if you want to know where my head is, I think the General Worth House sums up in perfect terms what I think a stylish house of the late 18th, early 19th century would have looked like. And, you know, if you guys wanted to have the little tiny windows, that's okay. I don't see that happening a lot with federal buildings. When we talk about 12 over 12s, we're not always talking about 5-foot, 4-inch tall windows. So to me, this is about space, proportion, light, and what undermines federal architecture. And I'm not, you guys know more about things than I do, but I believe what I'm saying very strongly. I think you're making a terrible mistake. And I think you need to look at this more in terms of putting in single light, single glass, gorgeous windows than, oh, they should have had 12 lights. I'm never going to be happy with it. But again, that's where I'm coming from. I'm not on your committee. But yes, we work together well, and we will continue to work together well.
So okay. The applicant has put in an application for 9 over 9 windows. So the board can vote that up or down. If it's voted down, the applicant can return with a different design for you to review, or, you know, they can look at their other options. But, you know, what's before you is the proposal. And I don't think it's appropriate to just say 12 over 12 without having the size plans in front of you, because when we do a C of A, it's based on a particular set of plans with dimensions, et cetera.
I understand. Victoria, question. Am I obligated I see somebody has their hand up. Am I obligated to bring public folks into this discussion while we're making decision on the vote, or can we continue on our own?
You're going to put that on me. So you're not obligated to, but you're certainly welcome to.
How can we not? How can we not?
I can demonstrate not doing it, John.
Ronald? Well, I would say we should listen to the public, even if it's not a public hearing, because of the nature of the building.
Oh.
Well, interesting point, John. Ronald, you got your hand up for half an hour. What's up?
This is actually Matt McGee.
Would you use your name then?
Yeah, it's Matt McGee.
Good.
I was going to say that actually 10 over 10 windows are not medieval, or 12 over 12.
I'm sorry, say that again.
They're not medieval. Double sash windows.
I think it was a metaphor.
And also, I would like to point out that this building is really more Georgian than federal. It may be dated in federal period, but the design of it is basically Georgian, which also is the factor in this. And I believe that the side window up on the upper gable is the best evidence we have
of
what the building is like.
Okay. Thank you.
And I appreciate you allowing me to speak.
No, of course. I'm sorry. I'm not feeling great.
That has to be discussed.
I'm getting tired and grumpy. You did nothing wrong. You raised your hand. You always make a contribution.
Anyway, design is important, but it's also important that it be accurately represented. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't know who Galaxy 59 is. You have your hand up, though.
That's Phil. That's Craig, City Code.
Oh. Did you change your outfit?
Not that ID, I guess. I'm the cell phone.
Did you want to weigh in on 400?
Well, yeah, because, you know, I've been listening to this back and forth, and one of the options comes up, and I hear this term very clearly, and a lot is like for like. I just want to stress, based on 169.13 of the city code, like for like means identical in size, appearance, the whole nine yards. So, you know, I just want whoever, you know, Walter, I guess, in this case, to understand that if they are going to go with that option, not only do they have to provide proof of what's there now, but, and that includes measurements of every individual window, and then we would go in and make sure it stays that way when they're completed. So that's important for them to know, and it's not just this application, but I go through that with every applicant that always says like for like. Matter of fact, in this meeting today, I had two phone calls with presentations that we haven't seen yet that were asking that same exact question. So I just wanted to verify that, and I'm sure Victoria will agree with what I'm saying. That's all.
Let me clarify if I understand correctly. I think that's such a great point. So if these windows, if the owner is not able to reproduce them exactly as they are, and they're not commercially available, for example, then it wouldn't be like for like and require our approval, in which case this conversation isn't just Pyrrhic, right? So
yeah, that's right, John. That's why I bring it to the attention, because the like-for-like rule is change in design, material, color, and outward appearance. That means that you're going to take something out and you're going to put it identically back in as if we, you know, it never even happened, so to speak. It's there for maintenance purposes. It's not there to use as a crutch, as an alternative.
Thank you for that. It's very helpful. I would just go given. I would just reject the 9/9 and go for 12/12.
Say that again, John. I mean,
if the vote comes, I'm gonna vote against the 9/9.
As will I.
Yes, and I will too.
Guess what? Me too.
Wow.
I think it's because this is such a distinguished building.
Yes.
And it has this important history in our city. And I think if we're going to do our job, we have to try to preserve our history. It's a very different question than it would be with a residential house on
okay,
the side so, street.
Sorry, Miranda, to cut you off. But given what we just heard, I guess the question is for Walter, do you want to amend your proposal and come back, or do you want the board to vote? And then when you do come back, it's a new application with a new C of A.
Oh, I think it would be really important to get this vote recorded. Very important vote. Yes, please.
Okay.
If there are no objection, then we're going to go ahead. May I have a motion to find the application complete?
I make that motion.
Thank you very much, Paul. And a second?
Second.
Second.
Thanks very much, Miranda and John. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None? May I have a motion to approve this application as presented, which is 9/9 windows. There were other elements to it, but that's the heart and soul of it. Will I make that motion
yes.
to you?
Yes.
Will anyone second that motion? Seriously? We got to vote on it, people. I'll second it. We'll do a roll call then on the application as 9/9. Paul Barrett, yay or nay?
Nay. Opposed.
John Chobel?
Opposed.
Miranda?
Opposed.
Chip?
Opposed.
Hugh?
Yay.
Who's left?
You.
You.
Yay. Oh. We lose. Application is declined.
Okay. Thank you anyway. I appreciate the open-minded debate. Phil, we have another one that we want, the State Street project, the Depot District. Are we on the agenda or are we...
I didn't put it on, Walter, because for two reasons. I wasn't sure what you were seeking. If you wanted feedback on that, it's such a big event. I reckoned it might be more helpful to get the public hearing piece out of the way if you wanted to present that
and do it in one fell swoop than rather come to us for an opinion and then again back with the public hearing, et cetera, et cetera. I was purposive and I should have written to you, but I thought it wouldn't be a great use of time. And two, I didn't understand exactly what you were presenting. Okay. And neither did Craig, so I was feeling a little skeeved.
We'll discuss that and hopefully get that straightened out and get it on the agenda. The Galvan group thinks that it would be appropriate to have this board review it just because it's a major proposal for the city. Obviously, people say exactly what they think, and they're going to make their opinions very clear. So we're not obviously looking for rubber stamp. We're looking for feedback. And frankly, a lot of us, now just speaking beyond Galvan, think that this board should have some oversight over the entire city. And so to that extent, we would like to encourage other people to come forward with projects that are not necessarily under your purview, as long as that doesn't clog your process too much. I think I keep saying the city is an artifact. We can argue about this window or that, but I think we all agree that the fabric is critical, and we want you all to say we're getting it right or we're not getting it right, but if you do this, it would be better. So,
if you don't mind, then, Walter, I'd like to pass on that. You and I will talk offline, and we'll schedule something.
Okay, and thank you all for always the collegial discussion.
Thank you, Walter.
Thank you, Walter.
Thank you.
Terrific work. So I would ask that we adjourn. I just need 2 minutes of your time. I know everybody's tired. I am too, but I need your help on something that would require executive session. Can we whack all the non-members?
Oh, you.